To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Laura Wadlin, here with my co-host, Jamie Partridge. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Laura.
Our topic is Federal Workers Under Attack. Our guest this evening is Thomas Topai, president of IFPTE Local 97, the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers, the local representing workers at the Army Corps of Engineers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Laura and Jamie, for inviting me. And I should state up front that any opinions I give will be my own and do not necessarily represent the positions of the Army Corps of Engineers or my union.
Respecting union democracy, we love that. Well, let's start with the headlines. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, is laying waste to the federal workforce. Every day, we hear a new horror story about the Department of Government Efficiency, an agency created by President Trump, directed by his mega donor friend Musk, to slash federal jobs and freeze funds for vital services. Musk's IT staff have gained access to U.S. Treasury databases and are issuing wholesale layoff and termination notices. Civil service employees, supposedly protected by law and union contracts, are being pushed out. Please give us a blow-by-blow of what's been happening in the first 4 weeks of Trump's presidency.
Yeah, so I think as you stated, what we're seeing is a massive effort by Elon Musk, representing himself and other anti-worker billionaires who are trying to disorient and disorganize the public and federal sector employees who are trying to defend the interests of the public. As we've seen executive orders restricting telework and remote work, which has nothing to do with efficiency, but is just meant to degrade the spirits of federal sector employees. We've seen emails entitled Fork in the Road, trying to get federal employees to quit. We've seen collections of lists of probationary employees. And in many agencies, those probationary employees being fired en masse, regardless of what their performance appraisals had been, regardless of the importance of their work. These firings are clearly illegal. We've seen firings on the National Labor Relations Board and the Federal Labor Relations Authority in an effort to undermine the rights of working people in the federal sector, but also in the private sector as well. So what we're seeing is an attack on, in multiple ways, on the ways that the federal government protects working people from anti-worker billionaires who want to take advantage of them.
So tell us about your work at the Army Corps of Engineers and how these cuts will affect you, your coworkers, and the public.
Yeah, so in the Army Corps of Engineers specifically, up to this point, we've been insulated by some of the worst of these attacks, perhaps because we're Department of Defense. So we haven't seen the mass layoffs that that some of my friends in other agencies have seen. But we still have these restrictions on telework and remote work that have gone away. They're clearly inefficient. And in some cases, we've negotiated agreements with management in order to save the government money on office space and just work out agreements that are in the best interest of the public. And those considerations have just been swept away. We also have the we've also been receiving the same fork in the road emails trying to get us to resign en masse, and frankly, people are just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. With these attacks not being, in our view, in the interest of government efficiency in any way, but just meant to erode the services that we perform for the public. It's tough to say what's coming next.
Thomas, give us some more detail about how federal workers and services are being affected.
There are certain agencies where their mission has been completely undermined. There's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which protects the public from getting ripped off by banks and other corporations. They've been locked out of their office. They've had mass layoffs. We've seen mass layoffs across a variety of agencies. So what we've seen is firing of scientists who are researching cancer, firing of nurses who are caring for veterans, firing of workers who are protecting your Social Security benefits. And this is an effort to, one, erode the public's confidence in the services that the federal government can provide. Two, they want to shrink the size of the federal workforce so that more of the work can be contracted out and leeches like Elon Musk can get a percentage of the public funds. And three, they want to degrade the expectations of all working people. So people may hear about this and think, I'm not a federal worker. Why does this matter to me? And this is just part of the attacks that anti-worker billionaires have been waging on working people for decades. These are the same people who have gone after school teachers, the same people going after workers in the private sector. Whether they be in warehouses, retail, coffee shops, wherever. They just feel like since they have control of government, of the executive branch of government now, that they have an opportunity to degrade the expectations of federal workers the most now. But it's all part of what has come before and what's coming next. This attempt to erode the expectations of all working people and try to make us powerless and hopeless. So that's what we have to fight back against.
You've been listening to KBOO Portland Labor Radio, Federal Workers Under Attack, listening to Thomas Topai, president of the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. If you like the show, if you find it useful, please support community radio, non-corporate, listener-sponsored. Go to kboo.fm and make a donation. So the federal workforce is subject to the Federal Labor Relations Act, unlike the private sector workforce and the Postal Service, which are subject to the National Labor Relations Act, and Oregon State public sector workers who are subject to the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act. Federal workers' collective bargaining rights are restricted to working conditions and exclude wages, benefits, and the right to strike. How has your union, IFPTE, and other federal unions like the American Federation of Government Employees responded to this crisis?
Well, we've responded in a few ways, and so it's interesting that you mentioned some of those key limitations that we have in the federal sector, where we can't strike, we cannot even threaten to strike, and we can't negotiate on wages and benefits. Those things are determined for us by Congress. But we do have the process, and so management is obligated by law to negotiate with us in good faith. So we're using that process wherever we can. Whenever there are changes that are announced, we're doing impacts in implementation bargaining. We're filing grievances where appropriate, always democratically, is well, at least that's the ideal. That's the way we operate in my union, is any major decisions on how we fight back, we do it democratically, by a vote of the members. We've also traditionally had a shared interest with management in the mission of the agency. As public servants, we're all very dedicated to the work we do, and when we can find efficiencies to do our work more effectively and more efficiently, we look for those opportunities whenever we're making negotiation proposals. So to the extent that we still have those common interests with our local management, we're pushing on that. We're also organizing. One other weakness that we have in federal sector unions that wasn't mentioned is that we're open shop. So everybody in what's called the bargaining unit gets the benefit of any contracts that we negotiate, regardless of whether or not they choose to become dues-paying members of the union. And so obviously that can cause some issues. If you don't have enough members, then it can be tough to have the resources to represent people. And what we've seen in the last few months is people wanting to join their unions, people wanting to get represented. But if they're already represented, they want to make their union representing them stronger. In my local, our membership has tripled in the last 3 months. And I have people calling me from other offices, and they're asking, how can I find out if I'm represented by a union? A lot of people don't even know if they're represented by a union or not. And I'm telling them, oh, well, check this box on your latest personnel action, and that'll give you the key to whether or not you have a union. If you have a union, here's how you can find out who to call to join. And people are reviving some unions that have been very inactive for years and years as a result of these attacks that we've seen. And then other people in other offices who don't have a union yet, that have never been organized, are looking to organize. The federal sector organizing, new organizing, is really taking off like I've never seen before. And the last thing that we're doing to fight back is mobilizing. So at the time that we're recording this interview, there's a National Day of Action, Save Our Services, SOS. And there's going to be an event here in Portland at a federal building with people wearing red, white, and blue. In some other locations across the U.S., people are rallying at federal buildings or at Tesla stores or SpaceX. I think there's going to be some more of these, and people can look to join on some of these actions, show solidarity with federal sector workers, because these attacks on us are attacks on your public services, and they're also attacks on the whole working class.
It's so inspiring that this crisis has gotten federal workers more active in the labor movement. So I'm wondering, how have members of Congress and the judiciary responded to these attacks?
Yeah, so there are on the judiciary front, that there are various lawsuits being filed by unions. Those are working their way through the courts to try to combat some of the laws that have been broken as Elon Musk and his crew look to move fast and break things, including breaking our country, perhaps. But with Congress, they have an oversight responsibility that to this point, the Republican Party does not seem to have availed themselves of. A lot of these cuts go against monies that have been appropriated by Congress and are therefore required by law to be spent. But Congress has not taken their oversight role up to this point. There are some members of Congress who are using their voices to raise awareness to what's going on and to speak out and help with the mobilization. I would say if you'd like to encourage more of that, you can give your member of Congress a call, tell them about some federal benefit or federal service that is important to you, be it your social security check or having clean air or clean water or having veterans cared for, having your forests protected. Give your member of Congress you could give your member of Congress a call and let them know that their voice is needed to defend the federal services.
And what is needed from the unions, especially from the federal unions and from the labor movement as a whole, and how do we get there?
I think this is a time where we need to mobilize and we need to show solidarity with each other. As I stated earlier, these attacks on federal sector unions are just ways of attacking the whole working class. There's a reason why one of the first entities that Musk and Doge went after is the National Labor Relations Board, that they want to undermine the bargaining rights and the organizing rights of all working people, and this is an attack on all working people. And so I think people first and foremost need to recognize that, and we need to stand together and fight back.
We've seen rallies around the country being organized by the Federal Unionists Network, or FUN, to fight back and save public jobs and public services and bring together the many federal unions in solidarity. Tell us about that group.
Yeah, so this is a group that formed at the most recent Labor Notes conference, and it's mostly been an informal network of rank and file federal sector organizers, union members. But at this point, it's growing, and we have the goal of transforming the federal sector labor movement. We want to share best practices across union boundaries, across agency boundaries, but also in any way we can use our collective efforts to organize and fight back. And people can find out more at federalunionists.net. And if you're a federal sector worker, we'd love to have you. And if you're an ally, we'd love to have you.
Well, that's federalunionists.net.
Correct. And federalunionists.net.
And that wraps it up for this evening's show. You've been listening to Thomas Topai, president of the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers, Local 97, about federal workers under attack. Thanks to my co-host, Laura Wadlin. I'm Jamie Partridge. This is Labor Radio this Monday and every Monday at 6 p.m. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.